Thanks, Corey. I'm going to go ahead and sit here again this Sunday. Would you take your Bible and turn to Psalm 46? Psalm 46 is a favorite of many folks, and it really helps us to focus. Corey, I appreciated what you, those 4 points of remembering who we are, remember who God is, and so on, why we're here, and what God is doing. Psalm 46 and a number of the Psalms do a similar thing. And I'd just like to read the first couple of verses of Psalm 46. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is given by you. It is preserved by you. Lord, people give reasons why they won't believe in the Word of God. But Lord, their reasons do not hold up. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is preserved. The Word of God is to be rightly divided and used in our lives. And I thank you, God, that you were so good to reveal it to us. Help us, Lord, to know you better and better through your word. And Lord, help us to know you and your character better as we live in this life with troubles and struggles. Lord, that we can see it's your will that will be done and your plan that will unfold. Father, and I pray as people are struggling right now, many of our folks have had or are experiencing the virus right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. But in the midst of it, that we, God, we would trust you. We would see your hand. That we would know that we are safe in your hands. And that we would not become discouraged. And we would not lose faith in you, but stay strong in our trust and relationship with you. Father, guide us through this time. Holy Spirit, teach us. The Bible tells us you are the teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though it roars, its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And then if you would go down a little bit further in Psalm 46 to verse 8, it says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. I just want to have you take a look at this. What is God taking credit for here? Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, these words are written to the people of Israel, but they're written to followers of God, followers of Christ. You know, this last phrase where it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And it is, again, a direction that God is giving us, that God's name will be exalted in the earth. You guys, that's what God wants. Is God's name being exalted in the earth? Think about our world and think about the focus of our world. There are some people that are absolutely doing this. They are exalting Christ in the nations. But the nations are mocking God. The nations are mocking God, and they are not exalting God. God says, I will be exalted in the earth. The truth is, every knee will bow eventually to Christ. And I believe that God is trying to get our attention through all of these world events. And we pray and we think, God, change these events. But you know, throughout biblical history, you see that God allows, God even brings situations about so that people will do what? Turn to Him. People will follow Him. People will give Him attention. People will believe and trust in Him. In the verse part of this passage, it says, God is our refuge and strength. And I just want to talk about those two words for just a moment, a refuge. You know, what is a refuge? When you've had a long day, a hard day, maybe a troubled day, what is a refuge for you? I know that Willie June and I have talked about the fact that at the end of the day, coming home is a refuge. It's nice to come home, come away from the rat race, come away from the troubles, come away into a place where it's safe and where you have peace. And the scriptures here say, God is our refuge. God is our safe place. God is the place to come away to. And then it says, God is our refuge and our strength. I'll tell you, in a little while later in the sermon, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a minute, as we did last week. But there are times where we would trust in ourselves to have enough strength. Now, when you trust in yourself to have enough strength to get through things, what have you found? Yeah. Nothing. It's exhausting to try to think that we have enough strength to get through what we're going through. The Bible just reminds us, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. And if we were to go back into the Psalms and back into the history of David, David had seasons of severe trouble. And some of those severe troubled times were brought on by others who came against him. And some of those troubled times were times that he brought on himself, right? Sometimes David brought troubles on himself. But what David found was that this is true. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my very present help in times of trouble. And so once you belong to God, you belong to Christ, you are a child of God, you're saved, you're redeemed, you're kept. As the verse that Corey read, we're kept until the day where our faith is revealed. Man, God is our refuge. God is our strength, and God is our help in times of trouble. We've all mentioned this, but in these last few months, we've just had COVID at a distance and now COVID up close. We are trying to decide how we're going to do church again in the weeks to come. And what one thing we know is that God wants us together. God wants us in fellowship. You know, I don't like this isolation. I don't like the fact that you guys are at home and some of us are here. We are made as Christians to gather together, and we're going to do that as soon as possible. So I'm not announcing what we're going to do next week because we're not sure next week. But we're thinking about doing the possibility of church outside, which would give us a little more literally breathing room from each other. But we've been dealing with this COVID virus for a long time. And then recently, we're dealing with these fires and the devastation of the fires and just the crisis of the fires and the loneliness that and the taking away from each other. Neighborhoods are no more, and people now are moved far away, and there's a weariness. And then, because of these things, there is a disunity. There's a disunity in the church, and not just in our church. There's a disunity amongst people. And people have polarized. We have those that are vaccinated and those that are opposed to vaccination. And we have those that are going to wear masks because it feels safer, and those who are not wearing masks because of a number of reasons. I'm just going to tell you once again, God has called us to unity. And, you know, there are some people that don't want to tell you that they're vaccinated because you have harsh words for them. You know what I'd say to you? Stop it. Just stop it. Stop judging people over these things. If a person feels like they need to be vaccinated, I feel like I have needed to be vaccinated. I visit elderly people. I am in the presence of sickness. I don't need to be sick, and I don't want to carry sickness. And so I'm doing the best that I can to do that. You know, I was saying to someone this week, we don't go around asking people, did you have the measles vaccine? Did you have the polio vaccine? Why in the world are we saying, did you get the vaccine now? There are people that, again, are afraid to tell you they've been vaccinated because you have harsh words for them. Stop it. We are called as the body of Christ to unity, not to disunity. And then there is a disconnectedness that has happened because of these things. And we need to do everything we can to be connected. In fact, I was talking with Milt Kammerer earlier this week, and he said, texting. Texting is such a good thing. It allows us to be connected with each other, ask each other questions, see how we're doing. And you know, I would say to you, those of you that are texting each other and loving each other through this season, keep doing it. Keep sending words of encouragement. Keep helping each other. Keep encouraging each other, letting each other know that you're praying for one another. Maybe having requests of needs that you have. I called the hospital the other day to talk to John and Karen Dangler. And, you know, there were so many people that were trying to call John and Karen Dangler that the hospital didn't know what to do with all the calls. And in fact, praise God, people were caring. People were reaching out. People were saying, you know, how are you doing? And we're praying for you. And so in this time of disconnectedness, I would just say, do everything you can to stay connected. Everything we can do. Have you felt the disconnectedness? Isolation? I have. And I don't like it. And I'm glad we can be the body of Christ and be as connected as we can. And so in this passage, it says, God is a very present help in times of trouble. And I would just ask you, how far away is God in this time of trouble? He's right here. He is right here. He has not left you. He will not forsake you. You can count on him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And praise God. And then in Psalm 59, if you'd go a few more pages to the right, turn to Psalm 59, verse 16, and a couple verses after that. It says this. Psalm 59, 16. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O, my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Love. And probably if you've been around in the church for a while, just these short verses bring songs to mind. You know, songs like, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever, and so on. But it says, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. I just want to say that we need to sing of God's strength. We need to sing of God's attributes. We need to sing of God's abilities. We need to sing about what God has done. This morning, Mike led us in a few songs that from Ezekiel, and they were songs singing about the things that God has done and about the things that God will do in the future. We need to sing about that. You know, when you read through the Psalms and you hear what David wrote and Asaph and the others, they wrote about what God had done. God told Moses to write in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, teach your children what? Teach them what God has done. Teach them how God led us out of Egypt, how God provided for us, how God is with us. And you guys, that's what we need to do. In these times of trouble, these times where we need a refuge, we need God's strength, where we see these subjects of trouble in our lives, we need to sing about what God has done. The verse says, I will sing of your strength. What do you know God can do? All through, there are just so many scriptures to go to. In 2 Samuel 22, a passage about singing of God's strength. In 2 Peter 1, 3, in Psalms 8, it says, and yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold, my anchor, my rock, and a refuge in the day of my distress. You have been my strength. You know, we need God's strength because our strength is pretty weak compared to his. Some years ago, I was working with my father-in-law, and we were digging a stump out of the ground. I don't know if you've ever dug a stump out with a pick and a shovel. A big stump. This was an oak stump. The oak tree was probably 18 inches across. And we had this big hole. You know, you put the hose in, you try to soften it up, and you dig roots and roots and roots and roots. And boy, you know, on your own strength, how long might you be there digging that stump out? Days and days. And then down Fowler Lane, some of you probably remember me telling this story, but down Fowler Lane, this guy comes driving a backhoe, right? And we've got a big hole, but this stump is not moving. And he's driving down the road, coming kind of slow toward me. I'm in the hole, got my shovel, and I look up at him, and he looks at me, and he slows down, and he goes like this, and I said, like this. That's all the conversation we had. He stopped, he backed up to the stump, and in about 5 minutes, he popped that stump out of the ground. I'll tell you what, you face your struggles alone, you're going to be like me with a shovel trying to dig the stump out. You face your struggles with God, he is able. He is capable. And he will get the job done far faster than we leaning on our own understanding. But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold, a refuge in the day of my distress. So, when we have days of distress, seasons of distress, we need reasons to sing. We need to sing and remember his loving kindness. We need to sing and remember and sing praise to him and acknowledge that he is our strength and our refuge. In Psalm 50, if you go back a few pages in your Bible, take a look at Psalm 50 for just a minute, verse 15. We'll back up to verse 14. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You see something in the last part of that verse. It says that as God delivers us, what is our response? Give glory to God. Praise Him. Do you know that He wants us in that position? Once again, I spoke a little bit about this last week, and I'm going to speak a little bit more about it. But God wants us in a place of weakness, a place of dependence. It is amazing to me when we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at the Apostle Paul, how God wanted him in a place of weakness. Paul actually says, in my weakness, what? He is made strong. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Corey, I agree with what you said. We need to be looking at the words of Scripture ourselves. It's okay to read it, and it's okay to be read too, but man, you know when Timothy says, when Paul says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Study. Maybe you can study a little bit by listening to something, but to study, you have to look into it. To study, so you can see it for yourself. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to take a look at that for just a couple of minutes. This is the passage, and again, I referred to it last week, but this is the passage, both 11 and 12, where Paul is talking about the reasons that he has to boast. Let me ask you, did the Apostle Paul have reasons to boast? Oh, man, he was one of the strongest apostles. He was one of the disciples, the later disciples of Christ, who he and others who turned the world upside down with the preaching of the gospel. And just take a look here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you were to look back in chapter 11, he is actually speaking about the things that he has endured. Paul endured a lot. In chapter 11, just starting with verse 23 and 24, right in the middle there, it says that, he says, I am talking like a madman with far greater labors and far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. What Paul is saying is, I have given my life for the Christ and the gospel, and it has not been well received, and I have been battered for it. Man, this is a man of courage. This is a man of boldness. This is a man of strength. Verse 24 says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, that's the Israelites or the Hebrews, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city and danger in the wilderness, danger at sea and danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is this daily pressure on me, my anxiety for all the churches. What Paul is saying is, I have endured a lot. In fact, if you jump down to chapter 12, the first verse, it says, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to the visions and the revelations of the Lord. And then he speaks about how God actually caught him up to heaven and taught him very wonderful truths that Paul could not teach at that time. So let me just say that if a man wanted to exist on his own strength, if a man wanted to think that he could please God in his own strength, Paul knew that even though he had been through everything, he had committed everything. Paul was intelligent, he was learned, he was committed, he was loyal, he was diligent, he was persevering and courageous. But he says, you know what? I count all this but loss. Here's how he says it. Yeah, chapter 12, verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Let me just ask you, what did Paul want people to see in him? Christ alone. Paul wanted people to see Christ alone. He didn't highlight, you know, I've been through all these tragedies and I've been through all these struggles. He was saying, yes, I have been through them, but those are not the things that count. What I want to see, have people see, is Christ in me. And so he says in verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. So what did God do in Paul's life? He humbled him. God humbled Paul. God wanted Paul to be completely dependent on him. And like I said, God wants us to be completely dependent on him. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited. See, you guys, in the troubles that we're facing right now, for Christian people, God at least allows and knows the things that we're going through. He knows the sickness we're going through. He knows the fires we've been through. He knows the isolation that we've been through. What does God want us to be? He wants us to be dependent. He wants us to be humble before him. He wants us to trust in him. Let me keep reading. He says, so that I not become conceited. And let me just say, guys, we have to be really careful that we don't lean on our own strength, lean on our own understanding. We have to be careful not to become conceited. We have to be careful not to think that we can handle stuff on our own. And so God used Satan, just like God used Satan in the book of Job, to test the faith of Job. He says, a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh was given me. And I think to myself, who is the giver here? This may be hard to understand or hard to take or hard to agree with, but if God is sovereign, God knows everything. And if God has a plan, his plan is to cause you to put your faith and trust in him. If God has a will, it is his will that will be done. And God will use the circumstances in our life so that we walk by faith. Corey, you read those verses in 1 Peter, and 1 Peter says that our faith is tested, and we are, our faith is put to trial, so that the preciousness of our faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, will be found unto praise and honor and glory of God. And so in this passage, it says, a messenger of Satan was given me to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, I looked up the word weakness, and it has to do with sickness and moral failure. It has to do with very practical things. God says, my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. When we as weak Christian people, dependent upon God, come to God and ask Him for His strength and ask Him to be our refuge and ask Him to help us in times of trouble, God shows up. And His power is made perfect in our weakness. I said to Willie June last night or this morning, I don't like being weak. I don't like being weak. I don't like to have to be dependent. I don't even want to be weak when it comes to my relationship with you. I don't even want to ask you for help, let alone ask God for help. But God wants us dependent. God wants us to lean on Him, to realize. In fact, I listened to a pastor yesterday, and he said, you know, I can't even walk without God. And he said, no, I can't even stand up without God. He said, no, I can't even breathe without God. And when we learn to be dependent on God, I think we'll really learn God's strength, that He is to get us through. Paul says in chapter 12, my power is made perfect. God says to Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And again, I've kind of talked about this since we studied this passage in Bible study a few weeks ago with some of you, and I don't want to just keep going over it, but man, do we boast? Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. We like to boast of our strengths. We like to boast of the things we know we can do well. Do you boast of your weaknesses? He says, I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what is God wanting us to realize about ourselves? How much can you do without God? Who are you without God? Buddy Sadler's favorite verse was, I can do, you could say it with me, all things through Christ who strengthens me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Read that, follow again with me, verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Now, you know what the word content means. I'm okay with it. I'm satisfied with it. Are you? He says, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. So let's be honest. Are you content in all those things? I am not. Paul says, I am content with weaknesses. Content. You know, contentment is maybe what you feel after you've eaten a good meal and you sit in an easy chair and you follow it up with a cup of coffee or something. Oh, I feel content. Paul says, I feel content with weaknesses. You know, I guess maybe when I grow up in my faith, as I mature in my faith, I'll understand what Paul's saying here. I am content with weaknesses. Insults. How do you feel when people insult you? Now, Paul was probably being persecuted mostly for his faith and boldness in the gospel. Yet people were insulting him. So to be content with insults, what do you have to realize? How can you be content with insults? Corey, you said another thing today, and that was that we find our identity, who we are in Christ. And if we can remember who we are in Christ when insults come, then what the people say won't matter to us as much as what God says about us. He says, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, and with hardships. Honestly, we like things easy. We don't like hardships. We don't like having to dig the stump out of the ground with just a shovel and a pickaxe. We'd rather see the backhoe in life come along and rescue us. Paul says, I am content with hardships. I just believe that there is a maturity that comes along in our faith as we go through weaknesses and hardships and insults, that we become dependent on God. We realize that He is our refuge. He is our strength in times of trouble. We don't know what God's plan is that's unfolding in front of us. We don't know what God is trying to build in us. And maybe we're going to continue to go through weaknesses and insults and hardships until we what? Until we learn to be content. We learn to trust. We learn to acknowledge Him. We learn to lean on Him to be our refuge and strength in times of trouble. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, and persecutions and calamities. And I think, you know, it's just more of the same of those kinds of things, persecutions and calamities. Remember what persecutions Paul had been through. I think to myself, when I read earlier this morning, 5 times he was whipped, 40 minus 1. My goodness. And you know, he felt honored that he was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Would we be content with that kind of persecution? We don't like to get splinters in our fingers. And yet Paul endured 5 times 39 lashes. That man's back and body must have been shredded and healed and shredded and healed. You guys, so we're facing hardships right now. And I will say, I feel like they are hardships. I don't like not being in church. I don't like the fact that our dear people are sick around us, friends, neighbors, church family. I don't like the fact that our houses have burned down, and I don't even know how God is doing and working through all those things, but what I know is we need to trust Him. We need to remember who He is. We need to remember what He's done. We need to sing praises to Him of how He created and preserved. And we need to look back and we need to tell our kids, God is able. You know what, you guys? If we don't take the Word of God seriously about what God has done, our kids won't take the Word of God seriously either. The people that are watching us won't take the Word of God seriously either. But if we are remembering, yes, this is the God. You know, there's a, I didn't look it up, but I think it's Psalms 108 that says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And it says, and He dried up the Red Sea. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And He delivered the people of Israel through the sea. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And it goes on mentioning these phrases of what God has done and that God is good. And we as Christian people need to rehearse what God has done. You know, prayer, and frankly, the focus of today is prayer. In Psalm 46, David was praying when he said, God is my refuge and strength. What does prayer recognize? Okay, there's six things I just wanted to list for you. Prayer recognizes dependence instead of self-reliance. Okay? Prayer recognizes, when we pray to God, it recognizes our dependence on God as opposed to our being self-reliant. Secondly, prayer recognizes trust over worry or anxiety. We trust God. When we pray, we're exercising our trust in God. Thirdly, prayer recognizes God's will over our will. You know, don't you make agendas for your day? You write out a to-do list. You're going to do this and this and this and this. And then God brings other things along. And oftentimes we have to be good with the changes God makes in our life. It recognizes God's will over our will. Fourthly, prayer recognizes God's sovereign hand in everything, as opposed to what? Chance or circumstance. Things aren't just happening by chance. Man, God's sovereign hand, and prayer recognizes God's sovereign hand in everything. So we pray, and we pray, God, heal the people in our church who have COVID-19. All the while, that is our desire. My desire is that you people who have COVID-19 would be healed. But there is a sovereign will of God, and there is my desire. And hopefully those are going to go hand in hand. But what we really want is God's sovereign will to be done. Fifthly, prayer recognizes humility over pride. And that's what Paul was dealing with here. Or God didn't want him to deal with pride. He wanted him to be humble. But prayer recognizes humility over pride. Are you okay with what God provides for you? Actually, God has provided probably quite a lot for a lot of us. But when we talk about prayer recognizes humility over pride, we need to be thankful for what God provides in us. And the last thing is prayer recognizes selflessness over selfishness. I don't know about you, if you're motivated by selfishness at times. Anybody motivated by what you want? Yeah. Prayer recognizes selflessness over selfishness. Learning to serve rather than be served. In chapter 12, verse 4, it says this. Let me go down here to the end of chapter 12. He says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Just going to go to another psalm for just a moment, and we're going to wrap it up. We're going to end our time with some prayer today, and I'm going to ask Corey and Jay specifically to come up. But actually, if all of you who are here today just kind of wanted to come up and be in a circle so that our Zoom crowd could see us, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the kinds of things that we're facing right now. Let me just mention a couple of things. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I just want to say, you know, temptation comes daily, hourly, minute by minute. Temptations to worry or to complain or to give up or to give in. And even temptations to steal and cheat and doubt and waver in our trust. And so what did Jesus say? He said, keep watching and praying. It's really like, how long can we go without praying? So Jesus said, keep watching and praying so that you so that you have an escape. You know, you think of 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it." For the last passage, go to Ephesians chapter 3 for just a minute. Almost ready for you, Corey. Actually, you guys can come on up because we're going to pray. And if you others want to join us, you're welcome to. I'm just going to ask that if you pray, pray with a microphone so that the people in the Zoom land can hear you, okay? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So in this passage, these passages of Scripture, we talked about the fact that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And so so we just want to pray. We're just going to, I know I've kind of been in a preaching mode, but we just want to stop and have us pray for our church family and pray that people would have hope during all these fires, hope in the midst of COVID. We learned of a young dad who is sick with COVID right now and given just hours to live. There's a young mom who has children, and they've been part of our Awana ministry before, and pray for him. So why don't you guys pick up a microphone, and we're just going to pray. So would you guys join us? And I don't know if the Zoom crowd can actually join us here, but we're just going to pray back and forth. I'll begin. Father, thank you. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And Lord, right now, I just pray for this young dad who has COVID so seriously that they don't expect him to live. It was actually a beautiful testimony, Lord. He and the wife had an interaction, and he expressed that he was ready to be with the Lord. But Lord, he's a young man. I don't even know how to pray for him, God, except I pray that if you would do a miracle, that this young man would give you praise and honor and glory if you would heal him. And Lord, if he has already passed away, that you would give strength and hope to this young wife and her kids. Lord, please. Someone else pray for somebody or something.
Father God, I pray that you would teach us how our weakness would glorify you, Father, and that how your power mm-hmm. is made perfect in it. God, I think about Glenn and Keith, familiar faces, brothers in the Lord that are not here with us today and who are struggling with health issues, Father, and I lift them up to you today. And I pray that you give them peace. Yeah. I know that they know you, Father, and I pray that they're leaning on you and that they are hearing our prayers and our words and are feeling your mm-hmm. comfort, Father.
Lord, please be with each person that's sick right now and their family members. Please help keep their family members from becoming sick. Please help the elderly folks that are sick and the young parents and the little ones who are still waiting to be born, Lord, that might be having a sick mama. And Lord, we just ask that you be with those who are struggling with the loss of someone.
Yes, Lord.
Comfort them, especially those that are left behind with young children to take care of on their own. Lord, just please give us the wisdom and the energy to know how to help. Please help us to bear each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Lord, that you give us the hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That all we have to do is have you in our hearts, and then we can always have hope, and that you've given us the gift of everlasting life. So please help those left behind to take comfort and assurance that they will see their loved ones again. Thank you for giving us the life everlasting with you. And Lord, thanks to you that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know who wins, and we're so glad to be on your team, Lord.
I'd just like to try for us to name many of the people who are sick. Lord, I pray for Melissa and John, that you would continue to strengthen their bodies and help them through this difficult season of COVID. For Glenn and Joyce, Lord, that you would completely heal them and strengthen them. Father, for Brandy, we thank you, Lord, that she is feeling better and that she is on the mend. And I pray for Tyler Jacobs, who is also sick. And it's good. He said his symptoms are not serious, but he has lost his taste and smell. And I pray that you would heal him, Lord. I also pray for, we've already prayed for Keith, but I know that they were concerned and that he has just not healed as quickly. And I pray that you would strengthen Keith and Dee Dee. And Lord, they're waiting for her test. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal them both. Yes. And Father, I do pray again for our brother Milt Kammerer. And I pray, Lord, that Melinda would not get this. Lord, it's really tough when you're in the same household with people.
Father, I want to pray for Clay and Sherry.
Yes, and, Lord.
Bill and Marilyn, and Kevin and Diane.
Yes.
Some names, Father, that I've been praying for, that we're lifting up to you corporately now. Together, we don't always get to name individual names, Father, but I'm so thankful that we are able to now. Yep. God, John and Nancy, Fantoni.
Yes, Lord.
And the Stillings, Father, come to my mind quite often.
Yep.
Lord, please be with Karen and John Dangler and anyone else in our church family that we've missed or we don't know is sick or might become sick.
Lord, Ruth Brown and her family, I pray that you would heal them from this, and also for Joni, Lord, that you would heal her. And we thank you, Lord. I think of Carolyn, and I think how you have brought Clayton through this. We're grateful for that and others.
And thank you for providing healing for Elizabeth. Please continue to strengthen her and help her and the kids.
Father, I ask that that all the healthcare workers stay well so they can help people who come in with COVID so they can take care of them and that they wouldn't get sick.
Can you hand her the microphone, Katie?
I appreciate that. Would be amazing, Father God.
Oh, I couldn't hear.
And please be with Jamie and her family.
Lord, I also pray for Joyce and Bob and Joyce's son, Wes. Lord, I pray for Joyce and Bob that They are sick. I don't know if they have COVID, Lord, but I pray for them that you would heal them. And I also pray, Lord, for their Joyce's son, Wes, who's dealing with this cancer situation. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal his body. And, Lord, that he would have peace with Christ. And, Lord, that he would be seeking you right now. Thank you.
Father, we do come to you, dependent on you, Lord.
Yeah.
Help us to be humble before you. We read in James about how we're to be humble before you, that our laughter turns to mourning. And then, Lord, the key to that is that you lift us up, that you exalt us, Father God. And we just pray that you would lift us up, lift us up through all of these struggles, Father. The illness, Lord, bring us together as a congregation.
Yes, Lord.
Bring us together as your people. Lift us up. Make us strong in our weakness, Lord. Good words this morning that we needed to hear, Father. Yes. Lord, we do give you praise. We do give you honor. We do give you glory. And we do trust you.
Lord, if there's anyone who is learning to trust you for the first time, I just pray that you would bless them.
Yes.
Let them know that you are there with them and that you send the Holy Spirit to help them to learn.
Yes.
And that you comfort them. And please assure them of their path. And we welcome them.
Yes.
We pray for our brothers and sisters in Grizzly Flat who are also suffering with the loss of their homes, Lord, and,
yes, Lord,
and the illness that's in that group of people too. Father, continue to give them strength and continue to give them comfort and the peace that passes understanding that only you can give.
Yes.
Seems one crisis after another right now.
Yeah.
But Lord, we do ask that you would lift them up.
Lord, I heard from Bill Brown, Pastor Bill, that his wife Marilyn has been to the emergency room twice with COVID symptoms and dehydration. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her and help her and heal her, and Bill as well. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in a time of prayer. Lord, there are just so many weaknesses in our sicknesses, in our flesh, in our humanity, Lord, here. Not only sicknesses of COVID and tragedies of fires, but Lord, surrounding us, there is the tragedy of unbelief. Unbelief, people not believing in Christ and trusting in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that people would turn to you. Lord, if there, as Katie was praying, Lord, if there's anyone who has not yet trusted Christ, they realize that they are sinners and that they need a Savior, and they're just like us, Lord, and they need to be saved, I pray that they would put their faith and trust in you. Father, I pray as we sing a final song of worship to you to lift up your name, God, that you would take us as a church family and you would disperse us back to our homes and our neighborhoods and the things that we're going to be about today. God, that they would, that we would give you glory and honor. And maybe there's a way today that we can serve somebody who's in need, somebody who needs food, somebody who needs comfort, maybe through a text or a call or a visit. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Thank you that you are there in the times of plentiful and in abundance, Lord, but you're also there, Lord, when we're in the desert place, we're in the wilderness, Lord, and when we're in need, Lord, you're always there. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say that we sent out an email this week to remind people that we were just going to do church on Zoom. And I noticed that a number of people did not get the email. And so what we found, for some reason, that I don't know why this is, some of them went to the junk file or the spam file. And so I don't know how to fix that, but we're going to continue to send out messages for next Sunday so people will know what we're going to be doing. But if you don't receive the email, and you normally do, please do check your spam file or your junk file to see if it has gone there. So really glad you came to worship with us. I really appreciate everybody who's here coming to help lead us and walk with Christ. That's what we're doing. And so may God bless you and keep you this week. Bye-bye.
Amen.